I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton taking your questions this morning, 801-575-8255 or the text line at 57500. We are sponsored today by Ivory Homes. And if you check out the KSL News Radio app right now, you're going to see a virtual tour of their Juniper Estates model home where an open house gets underway in just a few minutes at 6432 Hollister Way. Let's go back to the phone lines and let's see. We have Robin, who's been waiting patiently in Summit County. Good morning, Robin. What is your question this morning?
Good morning. After the snow melted this spring, the branches on most of the shrubs, low-lying creeping junipers, rabbit's brush, sagebrush, service berries, small quaking aspens, everything was denuded of bark and dead. And I was just wondering what it could possibly be. It was under snow, so can't be a porcupine.
No, I would suspect that it was meadow voles.
Did you call them metal?
Meadow, M-E-A-D-O-W.
Oh, meadow.
Voles, V-O-L-E-S. Meadow voles.
Okay, and it affected the whole neighborhood and
yeah.
Also the neighborhood adjacent to mine.
Well, and if you are in an area that borders wildland areas that are a little more moist, the meadow voles look like mice, and they will get under the snow and just eat everything that they can get to, and then when the snow melts off, they disappear. You know, rabbits can do this, but they usually, your rabbits don't do it under the snow.
Okay, and what do we do? I mean, they've killed everything. Even some of the larger quaking aspens, they chewed all the bark off of them. They girdled them, anything that was under the snow.
So, and just to be curious, you didn't see any, like, snowshoe hares or jackrabbits or anything in the winter, did you? Hopping around the neighborhoods, okay.
No.
Okay, so it most likely was meadow voles, and all you can really, I mean, once those plants are girdled, if whatever chewed on them went too deep, then they won't come back. Now, if you're having subdivision-wide problems, you could get a hold of your Summit County Extension office and then see. We have a couple of wildlife biologists on campus that occasionally will, if they're traveling in some way, come and take a look and confirm and maybe give some options on more of a macro scale, like you're looking for your subdivisions, on maybe some things that could be done. And so what I'd recommend doing is calling the Summit County USU Extension office, telling them your problem, and then if it warrants it, they might be able to get Terry Mesmer or another wildlife biologist to come take a look and see if there's anything that might happen that could not just kill the animals but exclude them and keep your plants safe.
Right. Maybe import a lot of ermines.
Yeah, get a lot of Wile E. Coyotes and Sylvester the Cats. And so, that would be my best solution because, I mean, on a single property, if it is voles, there are things you can do. But if it's subdivision-wide, then you may need to look at a broader-scale solution. And that's where you'd want, like, a PhD-level wildlife biologist who are experienced with what are called urban wildlife interfaces to get involved.
Okay. That would be great. I'll do that. I appreciate your help so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Robin. Thanks for your patience this morning. Tom, next texter is saying they have grape hyacinth growing in the middle of their rose bushes, and they want to know if there's a way to kill them without having to dig through those rose roots.
No. Okay, we can move on now.
That's it?
No, it's just...
You just have to dig them out, huh?
You just have to dig them out, because whatever spray you put in there would probably get on the roses.
Affect them.
They might... I mean, even some of the pre-emergent products isn't really going to do anything against those grape hyacinths. And so they might be able to prune those roses so there's a little space in between them that they can reach in and pull. But I, in this situation, just a good pair of leather gloves is about all I can really recommend.
All right. Next texter saying, how often should they water a cherry blossom tree that they planted a month ago? It's a 2-year-old sapling.
Well, it's really hard to say because they didn't include their soil type. But if you have more of a clay soil, probably every 4 or 5 days, and that's during the hotter part of the year. If it's sandy soil, then every 2 to 3 days. So, but what they're going to want to do is monitor and water the tree thoroughly, go out a couple of days later and dig around. If the soil is moist, hold off for another day or two and then go check it again. Once they figure out when the soil is starting to get on the dry side, then they're going to deep water, and then you can kind of get into a pattern.
All right. Next, let's go back to our phone lines. Our next caller is Trent in Rose Park. Good morning, Trent. What is your question?
Hey, Tom and Maria, a huge fan. Sorry, I'm a little nervous right now.
Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, I can be long-winded, so feel free to, like, literally interrupt me in the middle of a sentence if you need to, okay? So my question is, when you buy premixed herbicide in the store, does it already have surfactant in it? And if some do and some don't, what do you look for on the label to see if you need to add it?
They have surfactant in them, and they have stabilizers to keep the product usable for at least a few years. If you buy concentrate, the concentrate stays fine, but if you mix that concentrate in water, there are no stabilizers, and glyphosate can be broken down within 6 to 12 hours by our alkaline water, and that's going to be the difference.
Okay, so as long as I buy the pre-mixed stuff, I don't need to worry about adding any surfactant or...
No, no, if you're buying the pre-mixed stuff to try to control things like field bindweed or white top, then it won't do a very good job because the concentration is only 0.5%. But if you're just spraying out weeds in the cracks of your driveway and dandelions, those ready-to-use pre-mixed products are fine.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Trent, thank you for your call this morning. Let's the next texter asking when the best time is to transplant raspberries.
Well, early spring is the best time if you're going to do it. But if you can get enough of the root system, I'm not saying to go wholesale dig up your patch. You might be able to do a little bit of them now, or you can buy the rooted varieties that are in the garden centers right now and be fine with them.
All right, back to the phones. Next caller is Donna in Cottonwood. Good morning, Donna.
I have a maple tree in the backyard, and about a week ago, I looked out there, and half of it's yellow and the other's green. The yellow, the leaves are withering, but there is new sprouts of leaves coming, but it's like half and half of the tree is one and one is the other. My question is it a fungus or is it a chemical problem?
It could be either, honestly. Does the tree border anywhere where there has been something like a ground sterilant put down in the soil, where the roots reach under anywhere that could have happened?
It has.
Okay, there's your most likely your answer. If that tree is growing in under like a gravel driveway or a gravel pad and somebody's put ground sterilant down, the roots underneath oftentimes within a couple of weeks will be impacted, and whatever roots are under there that feeds that portion of the tree, that portion of the tree either is severely damaged or it dies.
I've had people come and talk to me about it, even arborists, and it's a even thing. One says fungus and one says it's the sterilant.
Well, when was the sterilant put down?
Last of last spring.
Okay, and how close to the tree is the area where the sterilant was put down?
Probably 6 feet, 8 feet.
Yeah, it's sterilant. I mean, the coincidence is just too much here, where you put a sterilant down, and all of a sudden, the roots underneath where you put the sterilant, that portion of the tree is unhealthy. Yeah. And what else could it be?
Well,
and the look of it looks like a fungus, because what happens is the fungus clogs the conductive tissue in the roots and prevents water uptake, and so the leaves scorch. And so the look is very similar, but there's just too much of a coincidence there, and the timing is too close for it not to be the ground sterilant.
Okay, now I do have a few branches on the other side that looks pretty healthy that are yellow too. Is that going to spread over to the other one?
It can. It just depends. I mean, you're going to just have to let that sterilant run its course, and then you may need to plant a new tree.
Oh, no, it's 70 years old.
Yeah, and if you hired somebody to put the sterilant down...
I didn't put it. They did it by mistake.
Okay. So at this point, you're looking at calling the Utah Department of Agriculture and Food, Henry Nahaluski, who is the program coordinator.
You have a number for them?
I don't off the top of my head.
I've tried to get to them.
But if you Google, it's Henry... shoot. Let me see. What city are you in?
Cottonwood Heights.
So Henry Nahaluski is their program coordinator, and whoever did the application may be liable for the value of the tree and the misapplication.
Well, he's replacing the lawn, and that's my other question. He's taking out, you know, certain amount of dirt that should have the poison on it, and then he's bringing new dirt in. But there are roots from the tree showing. Is that going to be a problem?
Well, I mean,
not it's for
not,
the lawn, but still for the tree, huh?
Yeah. Let's see. Henry Nahaluski. Let me give you this number. Henry's number isn't listed, but let me give you Drew Matthews, and he can get you in contact. Drew's number is 801-386.
I'm sorry, I'm not getting that.
801-386.
386.
6510.
65?
Yeah, 6510.
10. Okay.
Yep. And Drew Matthews is out of Ogden, but he can get you in contact with the people you need.
Okay. Is there a chance that sterilant will run its course and the tree will be okay?
It's not like the tree's just going to magically recover. It may not kill the entire tree, and it would take years for it to fill back in if
what
it doesn't kill the entire
leaves
tree.
What about these new leaves that are coming on the branches?
I mean, it's a good sign, but there's just no guarantees here one way or another.
So that's my only hope, is to talk to him and see if he can...
Well, they're not going to magic your tree back to health, but what they're going to do is do a formal investigation and lay the groundwork if you wanted to pursue legal options, that you would have that set in place.
All right, Donna, thank you so much for your call this morning. Our great sponsor this morning is Ivory Homes, where they have an open house getting underway in just a few minutes at 6432 Hollister Way. That is in Harriman. With us is Doug Babcock. And, Doug, I really want you to talk about the great things that Ivory Homes is doing as far as energy efficiency.
Absolutely, Maria. So Ivory Homes kind of leads the state right now in this. It would take a long time to talk about each individual thing, but a couple of real fun highlights would be Ivory builds 2x6 walls, so thicker walls, much better insulation, the way that we blow in and cover every corner. We use high-end, quality name heating and air conditioning materials through companies like Lennox. Our windows are as efficient as any window that any builder wants to include in the state. We do things like direct vent water heaters, which doesn't sound like anything that probably makes a lot of sense, but it's a more efficient way to build a home and to heat your water. On average, Ivory's done some math and some analytics on this, and it turns out that Ivory, on average, can save a family up to $1,200 annually.
Wow.
On utility bills. Just on all the, it's not one individual thing, but it's all the little tiny things that add up to a significant difference and how comfortable your home is.
You have three wonderful communities in Harriman. Quickly tell us about those.
Absolutely. So Hidden Oaks is our brand new community that we just barely released. It's actually absolutely incredible in that we're doing single family homes on nice sized properties starting in the high $300,000 range. Our next community is Juniper Estates, which we've been building in for a little bit longer. What makes it unique is they're all quarter acre or bigger home sites and an absolutely beautiful place. Our very last one is called the Cove of Harriman Springs. This is for that family who wants something a little bit more remote on a little bit of a bigger piece of property with absolutely gorgeous valley views. And in those three different communities, we're going to span price ranges anywhere between, you know, the high 380s up until the high 900s up and even in that million range. So we've got something for everyone, which is, I think, is absolutely incredible.
Doug, thank you so much for being with us today. I hope people come out. Open house getting underway at 11 o'clock at Juniper Estates in Harriman, 6432 Hollister Way. And that number to call if you want to call out there and ask questions about the open house or these subdivisions, 801-503-4752.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you so much for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria and Tom taking your questions this morning. Next, texter is asking, Tom, they have patches of violets in their lawn and they want to know what the best way is to get rid of those.
T-zone or four-speed XT.
Sorry, we missed the beginning of what you said there, Ton.
Oh, sorry. Something containing triclopyr. So T-zone or four-speed XT or Teflon ester.
Okay. And how long does it usually take? I mean, is this a one application or is this going to be
It may take a couple, but you'll see them start to die back within a week to 10 days. You may need to do a spring application and a fall application.
Okay, next person is texting from the Cache Valley. They want to know about honeysuckle vines and whether they're suitable for the Cache Valley. Would the north side of a fence be too shady? Are they invasive and hard to control? And what would you recommend? Are there some varieties?
They would need to get the honeysuckle above the fence because they do want full sun. But there are going to be several that will do fine. There will be yellow ones and pink ones and white ones. What I'd actually recommend doing is just rolling into one of the local nurseries up there. You've got Anderson's and Garden Gateway and a few others that will have them available and see if you can find one you like.
Okay. Next, texter is saying they're trying to figure out what kind of a pest they have. They had pocket gophers last year. They have a pest now with just a hole that looks like a snake hole, but bigger, and the soil is not pushed out.
No idea. How's that?
Okay.
The holes in the ground, I mean, it could be a snake, it could be anything, and just a hole in the ground, just I don't have enough to go on to really tell them for sure.
Okay, what kind of pest makes kind of a lace like looking hole when they attack things like verbena and zinnias and stuff?
There are a few. The leaf miners can do that, and it's most likely a leaf miner, but there are others that will chew the flea beetles can. They'll just chew the tissue between the midribs and the veins and the leaves, and so you could spray with just any general insecticide. Leaf miners are inside the plant, and they may be a little harder to get rid of.
Okay, next texter asking, they have a half acre in Lehigh and they'd like to plant fruit trees, maybe as many as a dozen. What does well in their area for multiple types?
Oh boy, I mean, this is one, we're running a little short on time, but apples, peaches, apricots, cherries, plums, all of those would be fine. And what I'd recommend doing is stopping by some local garden centers such as Cook's or Linden Nursery and seeing what they have. And they're going to need to do some research on what they actually need and what their uses will be, whether they want just fresh or for canning or what, and then detail the varieties toward what they will use the trees for.
Okay, a next texter is asking, and we're having a problem with our phone lines here, so we do have a second here, Ton. They're wondering whether to treat for peach borer. They have gummy spots up and down the trunk of their tree.
Well, the gumming spots up and down the tree could be Cytospora or Pseudomonas canker. And they need to carve underneath to make sure there aren't any tunnels from the borer that may have created those, because 90% of the time, peach tree borer shows up at the base of the tree or just under the soil, and you'll see gumming right at the base. Now, the tree still should be treated for peach tree borer, and they would spray with permethrin once a month, starting in early June, and go June, July, August, September.
All right, Ton, thanks so much today. The show, as always, goes very quickly. And for those folks who didn't get in all of their questions today, we will be back next Saturday from 8 to 11. Thanks for joining us for the Greenhouse Show. With me right now from PC Laptops is Dan Young. And good morning, Dan.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Because of COVID-19, now we're kind of shifting the future of work from, you know, from home for our lifestyle. And boy, how have things changed for businesses and how we do business?
You know, what we're seeing with a lot of our customers is a lot of companies are being really flexible, letting people work from home. And, you know, it's been pretty cool because, you know, a lot of people are discovering they can get a lot more done, but also, you know, spend some more time with their families.
Sure. How can you help those people who may now end up working permanently from home?
You know, the big thing is security, because when you work in the office, you know, you have IT people keeping the security good and everything safe. And a lot of companies have asked us, and just people that are working, you know, for helping them beef up their security so that they don't get malware, viruses, and you know, people infiltrating their Zoom calls and things like that.
Yeah.
So we do a lot to help there.
Yeah. What kind of advice do you give for people who are now working from home?
A couple things. First, make sure your computer is virus and malware free. That's really important. You also want to make sure you have good antivirus and malware protection on there. And when you're using Zoom or any of these conference calling programs, you want to make sure you have a really good password on those. And you also want to make sure what's called encryption is on. There's a little option. It's not on by default. And you want to turn that on so that you know, people can't hack in. And then one more thing is, you want to make sure the host of the meeting sets a password so you don't have, like, random people jumping in your meeting.
Mm-hmm. We know the risk levels keep changing. Are your stores open and fully functional?
Yes, we're open, fully functional. We've been open, actually, the whole time because, you know, people working from home is pretty essential. So we've been deemed an essential business in the states that we do operate. So we are available to help.
How has that changed what you've been doing in your stores?
Well, the big thing is this, you know, a lot of our clients, you know, are a little bit older and a lot of them are younger, but we do have an older population. And so a lot of people are more comfortable using our check-in desk, which is separated like 20 feet, you know, from where our repair bays are. And then we have hand sanitizer and masks and we keep everyone spaced apart. A lot of people are comfortable coming in and, you know, you can come in. We keep things safely spaced. But a lot of people don't mind just calling us and we'll come out to the car, grab their computer, check it in and, you know, get them taken care of.
Yeah, I was wondering if there are people who are nervous about coming in. Maybe they need a new computer. What's your best advice for them?
You know, if your old computer, if you have one that's, you know, let's say less than 10 years old, there's a good chance you may not need a new one. You may not need to get some updates. Like if you're running Windows 7 that's older, you may want to get Windows 10 so you get all security updates and maybe upgrade some memory and storage and those kind of things. But, you know, if that computer is not functional for you, we do buy computers on trade-in and we refurbish those and sell them to students. You know, if you need something low cost, if you need something more powerful.
Mm-hmm. You have a website that people can go to?
Yeah, it's PC Laptops. Don't forget the S, PCLaptops.com. And people can make an appointment or just call us or they can just stop by. They don't need an appointment. Whatever's easiest for everybody.
Make sure. Let's give out the phone number as well, Dan.
It's 1-877-596-SAVE. So that's 1-877-596-7283. And right now, you know, something we're doing. I don't care where you bought your PC. If you're worried that you have viruses or you just want to get it checked or anything like that, if it's acting funny, even if it's acting normal, you can bring it and we'll scan it for free. $0. There's no strings attached. We just want to, you know, make sure your computer's running well. And we'll also sterilize and disinfect your keyboard, screens, everything for you. That's absolutely free.
Dan, thanks so much for joining us. Again, that is Dan Young. He's the owner of PC Laptops.
Thank you.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon.
But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.